Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Radio Tony, a conversation with Kez. Welcome to everyone listening in Australia. Hi to everyone in the US. It's evening for you, and welcome to the rest of the world, Germany, Russia. Hello. You're listening to Tony Lontis on Radio Tony, and this is a conversation with Kez. Listening live today on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitch, we have the gorgeous Paolo in the Philippines, ready and waiting to answer your questions, remind you where the links are, and anything that we talk about today. You can also catch up with our guests on RadioTony.com, where you'll find links to all of their information and anything that we talk about today. And a big reminder that all Radio Tony shows are replayed on all major stations, including Binge TV Networks USA, Hero Go TV USA, and on the Tony TV channel app on all Roku, LG, and Samsung smart TVs across the world. And we are happy to have you here today. This show is predominantly focused on writing, authors, and anything that goes with that genre. My beautiful co-host is international best-selling author Kez Wickham St. George, and she's passionate about inspiring creativity and nurturing others to tell their stories. Not only is she an international best-selling author, but she spends her time coaching and helping others to write their stories. She's also a wonderful book reviewer. So for anyone listening, get in touch with Kez. The information to connect with Kez are on our live chats and in our information on RadioTony.com. Now, today we're going to be talking about a unique collaboration between Kez and a wonderful lady called Michelle Wittering. Now, I hope I've pronounced that correctly. But before I introduce you to Michelle, Kez and Michelle have been working on an anthology called The Colors of Me. And I've just seen the book cover and it's so very beautiful. But before I introduce you to both of these lovely women, I want to tell you a little bit about Michelle, whose pen name is Mickey Martin, which I absolutely love. But Michelle is a passionate author and a celebrator of life. She lives in Frankston, Victoria, which is currently in lockdown number 6 or 7. Poor darlings, not having a fun time at all. When she's not talking to us live on streaming TV, she is passionately creating the alternate world of her characters. She loves to write and has written anywhere and everywhere, but mostly she writes in the writer's manner that her husband built her from recycled products. And I'm going to remind myself to ask Michelle about that when we get into the interview. Michelle is a proud member of Romance Writers Association of Australia, the Australian Society of Authors, Writers Victoria, and the Peninsula Writers Club. She's been blessed with many opportunities because of her writing, which has taken her nationally across Australia when she's not in lockdown, and internationally to Ireland, thanks to her sensational publisher and the team at MMH Press, who've supported her through her entire writer's journey. Michelle is also a passionate mental health advocate and is always raising awareness on topics such as anxiety, depression, addiction, PTSD, domestic violence, and sexual abuse. Through her books, she addresses these important issues and incorporates messages of hope and healing through the power of story. A woman after my own heart. Now, audience, I'm going to introduce you to Michelle and Kez. Good morning, Kez. Good morning, Michelle.
Morning.
Good morning.
Michelle, it's lovely to have you on the show. Wonderful to have you with us. And I'm going to hand over the majority of this interview to Kez because she does such an amazing job. And I'll just butt in from time to time when I've got a question. Over to you, Kez. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Tony. Well, for all the listeners out there, Michelle and I, we became friends in Ireland. And, yeah, we've been good mates ever since Ireland. Is that right, Michelle? I better check in. Is that right, Michelle?
You are correct, Kez. We formed a beautiful bond over in Ireland, and it's just continued on since then. So we are very blessed, I think, to have this beautiful connection.
We are. So I'm going to ask you some questions. Now, because we collaborated on the anthology of Colours of Me, I really can't answer those questions, so it's really up to you, my friend.
If I get them incorrect, I'm just going to handball it back to you.
So this morning, now, do I call you Michelle Wittering or Mickey Martin, your book name? What do I call you?
Well, I suppose because we're discussing the colours of me today, we'll just go with Michelle, I suppose, because that's who I am with as I co-author the colours of me with you. So we'll just stick to Michelle today, darling.
Okay. So the first question is inspiration behind it. Now, I know we put our heads together on this, but what was your particular inspiration on getting a book right together?
Well, I suppose for this anthology, the inspiration was to give a platform and an opportunity for voices to be heard of how an event or an incident has shaped their life, or in this case, added colour to their lives. So, yeah, I think that's the most important thing. It was to give someone a platform to be heard and to share.
Okay. See, that was my thought when I approached you, excuse me, was giving others a platform to share their story. So why the name? I know we both agreed on this, but you were really delighted with the colours of me. So what attracted you to that name? Because I find it, we actually played with the name, the colour. We played with it to see what it would sound like and what it would read like. What was attractive about the name to you?
Oh, I think it was because it just made so much sense. And when you approached me with this idea, Kez, and we did play around with the name, it was so much fun. And I think we also had a subtitle at one stage, but because the title itself, The Colours of Me, to me it's just so impactful, isn't it? Because everything that occurs in our lives, you know, an incident, an experience, a tragedy, it really does add to those layers of colours of what makes us, not just women or men, but in this case, for us women who are in this anthology, it really does shift the colours, doesn't it? It really does turn those colours into something more than just, you know, what are those colours in the rainbow? They've got a name. And they're just a specific name. And then you've got the extended colours. That's what this is about. It's all about those extended colours and all those colours that are meshed as, you know, just so diverse, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think you being the artist as well, I think it was just so much fun, you know, throwing the colours in because, you know, you're an artist and you sort of love all the creations that you can do. So...
Sort of.
Yeah.
This was a definite collaboration between the two of us. So when I knew who I wanted to invite, and it is a matter of inviting authors to join you. So did you actually choose the authors, or did you invite the author, or did you think I'll be random about this and like a name out? How did you go about choosing your authors?
Well, the authors that I approached that I thought might be interested in the opportunity were women that had really been through quite a lot and overcome quite a lot, and some of them had not been published before, and I just thought, you know, maybe they'd like that opportunity because I knew they did have a story to share. So that's how I went about it. It's just sort of, you know, offered them the opportunity, and, you know, some really were interested, but at the time they had other things going on. A dear lady had just lost her husband and she wasn't in the headspace to participate, and she actually reached out to me recently and just said, wow, I wished I'd taken you up on the opportunity now, because can you imagine the story I would have been able to share? But now she's in their headspace to write it. A year ago she wasn't, and I completely understand that. So yeah, very, very interesting.
And when you wrote your story, Michelle, what was it based on?
Oh, probably why I was a bit emotional with anxiety this morning, because I knew you'd ask me this question. It was about, hang on, keep it together. I've got my Clark Kent glasses on, so I'm in disguise. It was all about my
We're
utter...
allowed to cry on this show. We're allowed to cry on this show.
You can't have the mascara run, Tony. Oh, dear. No, this my story was ultimately about a tribute to my mother. And it's so interesting because, as you know, Kez, being the co-authors, having all the stories come into us and, we, you know, to read them and respect them and really, and I know probably like yourself, I read them at least 5 times each, you know, when, you know, going through the whole process of from accepting them and then, you know, to the editing stages. So there's a lot of reading involved. And I knew initially I wanted to write about grief and how that has affected me as a human being, as a woman. And as I'm reading all these other stories, I'm thinking, I don't know if my story is impactful enough, or, you know, we know what's in the book. We've read what's in the book and it's so full on. And I was thinking, is grief really as important as X, Y, and Z? No spoilers. I don't want to give anything away, so we'll use X, Y, and Z. But I was thinking, is it really impactful, important? Is this going to, you know, is someone else going to be able to read this and benefit from it or take something away? And then as I was sort of contemplating and struggling with it a little bit, a dear friend said to me, she said, oh, my God, you need to just write what's in your heart. And so I did. I just wrote to celebrate the love I have for my mother and a tribute to her and her life and how she as a woman has impacted me and how her death has ultimately affected me every single day from, you know, the last 4.5 years. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, I wrote about my mother as well. Yeah, I wrote about my mum. And although she passed over when I was 30. And it was so I sort of dragged myself up, really. Watching how other people interact with each other, and it's been such an interesting. I feel like I'm sometimes standing on a stepladder and I'm watching all this go on around underneath me, and I'm picking which subject I want to talk about, because people they do get carried away with their subjects. I loved your story. I thought it was a beautiful story. I wrote about menopause, how my mum tried to commit suicide with her menopausal issues, and it was like. Yeah, it brought back a lot of memories. Some of them I had to smile at because I remember reactions from my neighbours or from our neighbours and from friends. None of them really understood what it was like until you go through it yourself. And that was my purpose of getting this book together, is we've all been through a situation, whether it be grief or whatever it is. All of us, all three of us, have been through a situation that has affected us. And it pays to write about it, because there's someone out there this morning feeling the same thing and knowing it's okay. It's absolutely okay to cry, to laugh, to have a great big laughing snort and then have another cry about it, to have a cup of tea with friends and talk about it, but most of all, to write it down. That's why I put the book together with you, Michelle, is to encourage other women to be who they want to be and to say what they want to say, because others keep it hidden.
So, and you know what, Kez, can I just butt in and say, darling, that
no, you can't butt in. Of course you can.
The day that you reached out and approached me to co-author this book with you, I honestly felt so, so lucky and so, so blessed, because what you've enabled, all these beautiful voices, all these amazing women with sensational stories, really, I mean, they're highly entertaining as well as, you know, gut-wrenching and tear-jerking. They're just the most beautiful stories. And, like, you've really enabled these beautiful ladies to have an opportunity to share the most phenomenal story. So I just have to say thank you so much for always just thank you so much for giving these beautiful women the opportunity and for asking me to co-author this book with you. I really feel quite honoured. Thank you.
Well, Michelle, if it hadn't have been for our Friday morning conversations and lots of laughter, I mean, you also put a lot of work, more than what I did, into getting this book out. Because I was one, you know, and I like the way we shared our responsibility. You know, if you couldn't do something, then I was on board and vice versa. So it was a wonderful experience, and we will do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've had
the right answer when you're talking on the radio. So in this book we dealt with a lot of sensitive topics, am I correct?
Yes, very sensitive.
Yeah, a lot of sensitive topics. And I found that the women were writing freely. There was nothing held back. And if there was something untoward in these stories, then we had a wonderful editor on board that said, no, I can't put that in, but we can reword it another way, which I found, I learned so much of word recognition and rewording things so that you could say the same thing, but they came across a little bit more respectfully. I guess that's the way to put it. I really enjoyed reading some of these ladies' stories. The book cover that we chose, that was different to what's been actually presented, but I loved both.
Yeah. I absolutely love the new cover only because it has all those amazing colours in it, and she's just she's so serene, isn't she, Tony? She's so lovely, and
I just love it. It's
you feel a bit of pain when you look at her. Yeah, spectacular. That's a really beautiful word to describe her. It is spectacular, and the other cover was lovely. But she looked tortured, didn't she? She looked like she'd been run through the mill, which was appropriate to the book as
wind
well.
Wind blowing. Shall we say wind blowing?
Wind blowing, okay. But yes, the new cover's fabulous. Love it.
So the charity we've chosen for all the... sorry, Tony.
No, I was just going to say there's a special meaning behind this book as well, and you're going to tell everyone about the charity.
Just what I was going to ask about is the charity, Michelle. Why did we choose the charity?
The Carers Foundation Australia.
Yes.
Well, we chose that charity for all the amazing work they do, of course, and I think especially for you, Kez, it was very personal. And I really think that you're the best person to answer that question, darling. So I'm going to handle it back to you.
Really?
Away.
All right. Have you got half an hour?
Yes, we have. Turns out we have.
I chose it because I was the carer of my mum when I was very, very young. It was literally when she went through menopause and a hard time. Everyone was too busy. And I recognised that as mum was lying there needing attention and there was nobody but me. Now, I would have been about 8 or 9 when I had to take time off school. And then again, when I was 15, and mum had a nervous breakdown. So that's what they called it. But again, I had to take time off school, out of my school. But I managed to turn it round. So it was joyful. It wasn't joyful for mum at all. She was literally on a lot of Valium to bring her into a state of, I don't know what you'd call it. She wasn't violent, but she was very agitated. But you know, it was a time of learning for me, a time of appreciating what I actually had in my life. So I had become a carer twice. And then, you become a carer when you're a mum also, because when your children get sick, you become a carer. And you're just a mum. You don't know what buttons to push. So I decided to reach out to Bobby, and I forget her surname. But anyway, she is the foundation manager of Carers of Australia. So I reached out to Bobby. She said, for sure, come on board. And our publisher, MMH Press, I found that she was also affiliated with the foundation. So that was it for me. I thought, right, we're going with this one. And then I had to see what you thought, because we were in this together. That's why I chose it.
Yeah. And I was thrilled that you did. I think it's the most perfect foundation for the book. And I just cannot wait to hold the book and see that little, like the foundation logo on the back of the cover. And just to know that 100% of the royalties, 100% of every book that's sold goes straight to that foundation. And I'm so, so very proud of that fact.
I think also...
girls,
Yep. Penny?
Sorry, Kez. Girls, how close are you to actually holding that book in your hands? It must be pretty close now.
For me, because the Ingram printing house is in Melbourne and I'm in Melbourne, it could be any day. I was hoping it would be yesterday so I could pop it in front of you today, but Yeah, it'll probably come as soon as I hang up from here. Probably right on the doorstep.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say I'm having a launch at my house. It's a very intimate launch because of COVID. We were going to launch it at a huge launch at a place called Peel Manor House, and there was going to be over 200 people present. And we've now got it down to 12 people in my home, and we will launch it then. That's on the 12th, and it will go live as well and be recorded. Mm-hmm. But I guess I will have one because I've got to give a leadership talk on Friday before a large group of women. I was hoping to have it in my hand as well, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And Michelle may have it before me because the printing press is over there.
She's in Melbourne.
Yeah. But it will just be the proof, not like a whole box full that I can, you know, throw them around and Yahoo over. But it'll be just nice to have that proof in my hand as well. And I just cannot wait for all the ladies to receive theirs once they get the publisher their address. She'll be able to, you know, shoot them a copy as well. And I just can't wait for all the women just to have a photo of that book in their hands. It'll be just such a celebration.
Yeah, it will be. It is a celebration. It's a celebration of voices, really, that it's been in word, but it is a celebration. And I think any anthology is just that. It's a celebration of many, many voices put together. Tony, do you have any questions you want to ask Michelle?
I do. Now that we're close to The Colours of Me being released, how many authors, and they're all women, that's my understanding, girls, that they're all women in The Colours of Me?
Yep.
How many authors do we have in The Colours of Me?
I think we have 18 in total, Tony. That's correct, isn't it, Kez?
I thought we hadn't involved ourselves. I thought it was 20. I'm not sure.
We'll have to do a count.
Well,
yeah, we will.
I'm pretty sure without us there's 18. We really don't know. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know why we're here today. COVID has affected us all greatly.
Yes, it has. I think it's called COVID brain, and that's without any virus whatsoever. Girls, as you know, I'm part of this beautiful book, The Colours of Me, and Kez and I have talked about that over the course of the next month. We're going to be talking more to not just both of you but some of the other authors within that book. I know from talking to Kez that you had so much fun putting together this anthology of stories. My question's around, how did you choose? Because I know you had a lot of applicants for the book and to go into the book. How did you end up choosing who was right, and how did you manage that process, girls?
Well, can I answer that one, Michelle, first? I'll answer a little piece and then I'll handball it back to Kez. But I think once all the stories came in and we started to read them, there were some that were so in tune to what we discussed, and it was kind of like they were just flowing in. And then the others would come in, and they were beautiful in their own right, but they just weren't aligned with the other ones that we'd selected. And now, Kez, there you can continue that answer.
Well, there's nothing more to say. Michelle, it's completely correct what you said. We did get a lot, and we had to go through them and make sure it was completely aligned with what our purpose was.
Girls, it was very intuitive process for you two. So you really tapped into that feeling of what you wanted the anthology to be and the stories of the writer. So it was less about the actual content of their submission, but more about that intuitive alignment about what you wanted the anthology to be. Because it does, as soon as you see that cover, it engenders just a beautiful feminine energy, doesn't it? Like it just speaks of a woman's experience with the world, be that grief, hardship, whatever it is that you're talking about. I wanted to digress just a little bit and talk, if we might, Michelle, about some of the things that you've had to tackle in your life. Are you comfortable for me to go there for just a little while?
Oh, sure. If you don't mind, tears of my flow.
That's no, okay. I love that you use romance to tell, or rather incorporate romance into some of those tough stories that you write about. But they're lived experiences for you, aren't they?
They are, darling, they are. And I think I've always been a person that's cup's always full and overflowing. If it's half full, then I'll go and top it up again. No matter what happens, no matter what experiences we face and endure, really, don't we? We endure them and then we overcome them. We can't live in them. We have to move forward. And I think I use romance and some beautiful subjects in my books to not promote these issues, but comfort them, hug them, give the readers that have experienced similar paths, I suppose, that comfort to feel like that hero in the story and feel like they can overcome anything. And it doesn't matter what's happened in our past. We aren't our past. We're who we are today and where we want to be tomorrow. So I know, and look, part of my past as well is anxiety and public speaking. So I do apologize if I do lose track, which you probably sensed earlier when I was waffling on about the colors. Really. So, it's putting yourself in situations that you aren't 100% comfortable with, and I do that a lot with this kind of author stuff, because I would rather just sit here in my beautiful manner and have the world not see me and not speak, but there's someone else out there just like me that maybe feels that same way, and hopefully if I can show them in my awkwardness that you can do anything you want and you can do what I'm doing right now. Anyone can do it. If Michelle Wiedering / Mickey Martin from Glen Ormiston South can do this, anybody can. Trust me there.
Absolutely. I guess that's part of the reason why Kez and I started this show, because when I started my journey, it was incredibly difficult to be seen publicly. Even just when I first started, it was just my voice. There was no video. When I first started Radio Tony, it was just audio streaming. And I've told this story before, but I used to get sick most times before I had to get in front of the microphone. But greater than that feeling of nausea was the thought that perhaps someone was out there listening, and perhaps I could make their journey a little better just by hearing what we were talking about, because I know what it was like to be in that black place of hopelessness and not thinking that anyone was listening or there was any help or any hope, and I didn't want anyone to go through that again. So I just kept pushing myself, and I still, even after doing it for numbers of years, there's still days when I have a particular guest or show coming up, I'll still get anxious. And I still get anxious if I haven't done what I consider my prep for the show. I think it's okay to show that you're human, but by doing what we're doing and jumping on and having real conversations, I think that's helpful for humanity. And in terms of the difficult subjects like anxiety, depression, PTSD, sexual abuse, domestic violence, we still don't talk about that stuff enough, particularly from a woman's perspective about sexual abuse and domestic violence, because it's still happening. We still see across the media, not as much as we need to, that women are still being treated disrespectfully in workplaces. Women are still being touched inappropriately across the world. If you ask any woman, and I'll ask the both of you in a moment, I was thinking about it just recently. That's happened my whole life, and it started in my early to late teens, where someone would touch you or be in your space and there was no apology. And women have put up with that for centuries. And now we start, we need to be talking. We need to explain to our young girls that you can say no. say, that's my space, that's my body, you've got no right to touch it. And I was reflecting on, you know, going to nightclubs in my 20s. Well, goodness me, wasn't that, you know, hands were inappropriately placed all over the shop. I don't think that's acceptable anymore. Or is it just my middle-aged musings? Or what do you girls think?
Tony, I was brought up to believe that wolf whistling and touching inappropriately meant that you were very acceptable to men. That's how what I was taught. My sisters were taught that too. So when someone wolf whistled at you, it sort of made you quite, well, I am special, I am good looking. It wasn't until I got rid of, and that was in my 40s, I managed to get rid of this fear that I wasn't good enough. And so if a man didn't have that, like, look you up and down when you walked into a room and started flirting with you, I got rid of that. I'm just not good enough. Even though I was happily married with four children, I was taught that if you weren't flirted with inside the room, then you just weren't good enough to be there. And so I managed to get rid of that. And then after that, you know, people found me almost unacceptable. I got on my horse and just said, I don't accept coming into this room and you saying inappropriate silent messages, sending me messages. I've even had notes slipped to me. Even yesterday, I was inappropriately approached online to have an affair. Now, in this day and age, you know, I wanted to put him over my knee and smack his bottom. And even though it was online, it was like, come on, just come on. We are all over this. I actually took the phone and showed my husband. I said, what do I do with this one? And he said, you want me to answer? I went, no. I don't want an online fight going on. So I just said, this is inappropriate, and blocked him. But why? Why are we, you know, some woman.
Why do they think that that's okay?
Yeah, it's not. It's not okay to make you feel that you are inferior if you don't accept other people's come-ons. It's just not right.
Yeah.
And that's the reason, one of the reasons why I got into the colours of me is it's not right to be approached by anybody, male or female. It's not, unless you encourage it, you know, just mind your own business, one foot in front of another. We all have to do it. We are all human. So let's just get on. Instead of making people feel like we are, there's a word I want to use, but it's gone, but it means phantom. You know, we all feel that, we're just not good. If they haven't approached us with their whatever it might be, we are not good enough. And that's not right. We are all good enough. And this mental health thing that's going on, it is just so appropriate for times and places right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What about you, Michelle? It's a good subject to broach because there still seems to be so many. Again, I say this with a caveat. There are beautiful, decent, amazing, wonderful men out there, but there are still lots and lots who push that envelope, who connect with the obvious idea that they want something from you that you're not prepared to give. And I'm the same, Kez. I constantly get approaches to, you know, talk, and I'm like, no. And I will now say, happy to be friends, but I am happily married. I have grown-up kids and grandchildren, and I am the most friendly, loving person on the planet. And unfortunately, being friendly and loving just seems to encourage some of them. Michelle, what's been your experience?
Oh, well, just recently, I'll say the last 12 months, you know, I have had people via Instagram, even LinkedIn and Facebook, you know, they do their private message and they get quite chatty. And you know, I respond like I would respond to you or my cousin. You know, I, like you, Tony, very friendly, very open. I've nothing to hide. And then you can see where they're going when they start a conversation. And if I reply in a way to shut them down and wish them well, then I never hear from them again. And I think, you know, you just know that they're after something, and they see your profile picture. They see you happy with children and your husband and life.
Yes.
And it's like, go find a dating site if you're looking in the wrong spot, mate. But, you know, I think on the other side of things too, with my age and I'm around a lot of younger people, teenagers, and the girls these days are quite strong and quite resilient to the fact that they can speak up and that they don't feel that they don't feel inferior to the male. Yeah, they don't feel inferior to the males now. They're very ballsy, and I love that, because I look at a 12-year-old now and remember what I was like as a 12-year-old. Yeah. It's like, they're like, they've got these little super capes on now. I really think that they've got the right idea. I think that the women from our generations have given these younger girls now the backbones and the force to, so I'm quite proud of the younger generation. They're doing well.
They are.
But ladies, we don't want to see, you know, some of the politics and things that have played out across Australia recently. Things like, you know, taking advantage of a girl because she's drunk or what she's wearing, or we need to have those conversations that a woman or a man cannot give consent if they're drunk. So, and that's, you know, in reference to some of the things that have happened in our parliament, for instance. And who would have thought that Parliament was such an unsavoury? We know that politicians, by and large, are not very savoury from time to time, but to think that sort of behaviour is acceptable in the highest echelons of power blows my mind. I would have thought by this day and age that across corporations and across the governments of our great country, it would have been known that that's unacceptable behaviour. Just because you're drunk, just because you've had a few nice conversations or there's been flirting taken place, does not equate to consent, does it?
No, it does not. No. Mm.
No, it's wrong, isn't it? And it's wrong that they think that they're going to get away with it. That's what upsets me.
Yes. And the other thing that concerns me is there still seems to be, in the higher echelons of power, be that corporate or government, that the boys' club still tends to protect the boys' club. Again, it's not okay. And I think that whilst we see women starting to stand up, we still need to see more men in power calling out that behaviour. Yes. And if I can, you know, our current leadership in Australia should very clearly say to some of the members of their parliament, no, buddy, I'm not going to make you, I'm not going to elevate your position simply because what you did was wrong, and there's, you know, it doesn't pass anyone's test, because us as women all know that certain things would have happened exactly as the women have said they've happened. We all know. Ask any woman and they will tell you, absolutely no doubt, that these women are telling the truth. Mm. But we need men to start believing us, don't we?
That's right. We do. Mm. So, Michelle, what advice would you give to authors wanting to form the same sort of collaboration for an anthology? What advice would you give them if they turned to you and said, would you do an anthology with me? What would be your advice be?
My advice would be, if someone was approaching me to ask if I was going to be on an anthology with them, I'd just make sure that we're in tune with each other. If someone was asking me for advice to approach somebody else to do an anthology, it would be the same. You know, are you in tune with that other co-author? Are you aligned? Do you have the same vision? Can you work together? Can it be fun? Will it be stressful? You know, will you share the workload? Will you support each other when times are hard? Because you and I both know that in the last 12 months or so, we haven't just worked together. We've supported each other through some difficult ups and downs just in our everyday life. Yeah. And that has helped our work relationship just blossom. So I think that's really important. If you can just respect and really nurture that person that you're working with on all the levels, then you're on the winning team there.
Yeah, I agree totally. So looking back on this experience, would you attempt to collaborate on an anthology again, and would it be on the same genre?
I would definitely, whoever wanted to do an anthology with me, if I have the time juggling what I'm juggling in life at the moment, I would absolutely say yes. The same genre. Look, it is a very important genre, and there's definitely room in my scope down the track to do a similar genre. But moving forward at the moment for me, I'm excited to do an anthology with different genres as well. But this genre is very important, and it's lovely to give other authors the opportunity to, you know, have their story. So, I mean, God, there's just so many stories to be shared and told, and I'd love to give more people the opportunity to, you know, I mean, really, what a fabulous book. And some of our authors have never been published. We've got one debut author down here in the peninsula, and she's so excited, and her family's excited. And wow. So it's really, really super duper cool. I just love it. It's just opportunity, isn't it, to be heard?
It is. And that's exactly why I would do the same as you, Michelle. If someone said, well, you know, again, approached about an anthology, it is an opportunity to write differently. I find that exciting. I like, you know, as I write romance, paranormal. So I love the opportunity to write differently. And it's almost like you've got a little extra tribe that you've joined and become part of. I just, the same as you, I've got two authors in the book that have never been written or published. They've played with words more than anything. And they've been to a couple of book things going on here. I've been to one lady said to me, I went to a writer's retreat. What did you learn? She said, I didn't understand anything. Well, no, you're not going to until you get your writer's hat on. So, you know, it's given them the opportunity to grow, just to grow in their wordage. It's amazing. Yeah. So, ladies, you had the chance. Yes.
I was just going to say that there seems to be rising popularity in the idea of anthologies, because you see a few of them popping up like all over the place, and their diverse topics lends itself to giving everyone that opportunity, doesn't it?
Tony, I have been watching anthologies pile up on my desk to be reviewed. Yes. So what
awesome.
What makes you, now the question I ask each person or each company that combines an anthology with many authors is, what was your purpose in this? Was it to, now a lot of anthologies charge an awful lot of money.
They do.
And why? That's my question, why? You know, they only some crammed 30 ladies into a book. Why? And so my question to anyone, that the two anthologies I've got sitting here, I ask questions. Why did this happen for you? What was your drive? What was your purpose in getting 30 ladies into a book on one genre and not giving them the freedom? So when you do a genre with someone, you need that freedom. You need the freedom of speech, the freedom to...
Yes.
Pass on your wisdom, and that's the biggest thing we have today. I don't want to read a book that's oh woe is me and all ended badly. I want the wisdom of oh woe is me and how they changed it. That's what
I'm
after.
What I learned.
You know, it's a lesson that we all have to learn: is how do you turn it around?
Sorry, I was just going to say that is one thing I love about this anthology. Like, they are really serious and deep topics. Each story, each lady's, you know, sharing, they're all so deep. But, you know, there's laughter amongst the stories. You know, there's laughter, there's success, there's a little bit of, oh, my God, I know exactly what you're talking about, or there's, wow, you know, how did you overcome that? And just as you read throughout, it's not just one book that, as you said, Kez, is on the same topics. There's a couple of stories that hit on similar topics, but they're so different because each lady's experience and journey is so different. But it's just such an entertaining anthology, as well as just heartwarming, and it's just delicious. I just love this anthology. I just love it so much. Sorry.
Kathleen, I can just love your passion about it.
It's just divine.
It's energy, girls. It's got an energy. Like, as soon as Kids showed me what the cover looked like, I just got goosebumps because it was like the energy from all the authors combined under both of your leadership. It's like there's an energy that exudes from the book. So I can't wait till you message me and go, oh, look, I've got it already.
It's going to be fabulous. As soon as it comes in the mail, I'll do a quick little Facebook post and share it with you all. But it really is. It's just such a celebration, Tony. Yeah, just love it.
Yeah. And when I went to Michelle and said, look, would you like to join the anthology with me? I just knew. You just know that you've hit the right buttons. She was the right person to approach. I mean, Michelle and I, we're good friends, but you don't write anthologies with all your friends. And most of my friends happen to be writers. So, it's just knowing and knowing who you can trust. You know, so even if you just have an off day and you don't want to go online at all, you just want to put your head down in the garden or go and have an ice cream or a coffee or something, you know that the one that you left at the desk will take over for you. The trust is got to be there. When you do an anthology with someone, it's just got to be trusting and worth it so that you grow as an author as well.
Lovely ladies, you've had quite wonderful support from your publisher and they've been engaged with the whole process as well. Is that important from a writer's perspective, and particularly for the two of you collaborating together and getting together all of these amazing authors? How important is it to have a publisher's support behind you?
Michelle. Gosh, it's absolutely everything, isn't it? Especially when, you want to donate all the royalties to a foundation. When you need, like we did source the beautiful cover and it wasn't pixelated, so it wasn't the right one. And our beautiful publisher just dove in and saved us as it was going to proof, as it was going to print that proof on that day. So I think with Karen McDermott and MMH, I mean, I love MMH Press, obviously. They're my baby.
Yes.
Just like their Kez's as well. We love our press. We support our publisher, they support us. And I think having a team right behind you that supports you in every step of the way, God, I don't know really how to describe it. It's like having a mum's hug, but not a mum's hug. I don't know. Kez, take it away. I'm rambling again.
I find working with MMH Press, it's there's something with it. There's something like, well, for instance, I told her about a little coup I had yesterday. I just rang her and she said, I'm just dancing with happiness for you now. Again, it's like you've ticked that button and someone, you don't need approval, but someone said, look, I'm just so happy for you and where you are. I just found that it made my day. I had been, I had a really, really stressful, busy day yesterday. I had two of my clients in lockdown ring me about their books and they were upset, of course. And so you carry that little bit of worry with you. I had two radio interviews yesterday. I found after talking to Karen McDermott, MMH Press, I also felt that I could dance. You know, I just felt that I had the right. Yeah. I'd made a few choices. And on my last client review last night, it was joyous because I was smiling inside. You know, you can carry burdens around with you, but when someone, and Karen's not one to land at your doorstep and say, oh, my darling, you're the best writer on earth. She will encourage and applaud you from afar, which is what we need as authors, because then we think, right, we've done that in the correct way. And we also have a fabulous writing team behind us. You know, I can ring two or three, including Michelle, at any time, respectable time of the day, and say, I'm a bit lost. I'm a bit lost. Now, last night I had a radio interview and he said to me, I've got writer's block. And I went, what's that?
Exactly. I've never had it either.
And it's like, you know, he said, because I'm finding it hard. I said, that's not writer's block. That's emotional block. So, journal. So we had, you know, I was with the happy heart I did have, the right words came. And the happy heart, you know, after talking to Michelle in the morning and then talking to Karen in the afternoon, it's like, she's like a, I don't know, it's like a well done, little tap on the shoulder, well done. And we all need that. We all need that in our day, you know, because we get used to, my husband says to me every day, you're looking fabulous, darling, and what are you going to do today? And I'll say, it's like, it's a recording. It happens every morning. Mm-hmm. Instead of appreciating it, I got used to it. And recently I really had to turn around and think, I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky to have all this. All these people say, well done. So, yeah, when you've got a publisher that enjoys what you're doing and gets on board with you, turns up at your launches, does live reviews with you, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, absolutely. For my first book launch, Tony, obviously I'm in this part of Australia and you guys, well, I don't know where you are, Tony, but, you know, Kez and Karen are up here and Karen flew all
the
way.
I'm on the opposite side. I'm on the opposite side of, I'm in Queensland.
Oh, how stunning.
You see? Triangle of power.
Yeah, like Karen flew down for my first book launch and like that was massive with her beautiful daughter. Had a little bit of anxiety that day, so she just grabbed her daughter and we had a massive launch in my backyard, which was bigger than my wedding. It was so sensational. I actually wanted to renew my vows on that day. It was that brilliant, but anyway, we didn't. But that's the kind of publisher Karen is. She will, you know, she'll travel from one side of Australia to support our authors. Excuse my mother's grandfather clock. It's chiming. I'm sorry. Should I mute myself? Maybe I should.
No, I think I honestly think it's over.
It's over.
You can unmute.
I'm unmuted.
Yeah. And also, you know, having a collaborating with a person that gets you having that team, you know, all those ladies in that book, including yourself, Tony, were right behind us. We're right behind us all the way, except in what our editor and our proofer, if they had anything to change. And that's the way, you know, you build a team. You just got to have that team.
Well, my lovely ladies, we are just about out of time already. And for our listeners, we're going to be continuing our conversation on The Colours of Me because we're going into launch month and because we had these wonderful plans to do a wonderful big launch in Western Australia at Peel Manor, which has been curtailed by the worsening situation with COVID across the country. However, Kez and I wanted to make sure we give coverage to this amazing book because of the women involved, because it's Kez and Michelle, and because the proceeds of this book will go to charity, and a very important charity it is. So over the coming weeks, Kez and I, and probably Kez and I and Michelle, will continue to talk about The Colours of Me, and hopefully we're going to be introducing you to some of the authors in that book that would like to come on and be interviewed about the process for them, because we think that it's important that The Colours of Me gets as much publicity as it can in the wake of not being able to have the big launch that we planned. So Kez, thank you so much. Michelle, thank you so much. I can't wait for our next chat. Wonderful audience. Thanks to Kez Wickham St. George and Michelle Wiedring, and her pen name is Mickey Martin. So check that out online, Mickey Martin. You'll also find Kez's stuff. Kez's new book is out. Is it out yet, Kez?
The new book? November the 20th.
Not quite. November, that's right, November the 27th.
That's the one with the film attached, yeah.
Yes. Yep. And we will do some more chats about Kez's upcoming book and the film as well. But that is all we have time for this week. Lovely ladies, thank you so much for joining me on Radio Tony, A Conversation with Kez. We'll be back next week with more discussion about writing, authors and anthologies. Join us all again, same time next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tony. Bye-bye.